Eneman, the modern chewing gum laxative, presents fun facts and fun page features in the original radio show of its kind. The fascinating game.
Now then, double or nothing.
Music by Brusilov. Announcing Aloys Avrilla. Star of song, Frank Forrest. Guest contestant, Pat Rooney. And awarding United States war stamps for Fiedemann, the originator of Double or Nothing, Walter Compton.
Greetings, everyone. Tonight, Double or Nothing joins with the rest of the nation in honoring Independence Day, a forceful reminder of those precious freedoms we're fighting for. At the same time, we'll pay tribute to a distinguished patriotic organization, the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Two prominent members of the DAR will be among our contestants, including their President General, Mrs. William H. Pouch. Also, the President of the Empire State Society for the Sons of the American Revolution, the Honorable William S. Bennett. Our group achieved variety with a veteran song and dance man, the managing editor of our Army's official newspaper, and a visitor from down south. So, Aloys Avrilla, stop that personality parade, my friend.
Okay, Walter, and pacing our convoy of contestants is Mr. William Weber, visiting New York from Hickory, North Carolina.
Hi, Mr. Weber. Step up here. That's your song box, Mr. Weber. Any minute now, I hope to put lots and lots of money in there. United States War Savings Stamps with the compliments of Fiedemann. You're all ready for your question?
All ready.
Okay, sir. It comes from Miss Emma A. Granger of Portland, Oregon. She gets $5 for sending it in, and the best drug company of that same city gets a special award. How do you pronounce these two words? F-I-A-N-C-E and F-I-A-N-C-E-E.
First one is finance. The second one...
You didn't hear me spell them. Let me spell them again. F-I-A-N-C-E. And F-I-A-N-C-E-E.
Fiance.
That's right. And,
Fiance. Fiance and fiance.
I think I'm going to let you have it. I just want to hear what you're going to say about it. Give him $5. Let me hear what he says. I pronounce them both the same, but if you want to argue, maybe Mr. Webster's wrong. I don't know, sir. I say fiance for both.
Don't look at it.
I'm
so. Okay, it's paying much money. Let's go. See how much of it you can win.
Well, you, when two people become a spouse.
They do what?
A spouse?
My goodness, a $4 word. Quick.
They have been fiancés.
They have. $4.
Boy meets girl.
$1 on each.
Fiancé. Girl meets boy. More fiancé.
Yeah, more $2. I get this.
Finally, they get married.
Finally, they do.
Yes,
they get a spouse.
They get a spouse.
I'm not going to give you $4 more for that. Just two this time. Now, what happens?
Well, men are fiancés that say are chosen in heaven.
That's surely a rumor, I think, but $2.
Well, men are fiancés when they get married, are happily married. Great men of them are happily married.
Full of rumors. $2 more.
You're not.
If you were, $5.
Well, after they get married, some get divorced.
There's no question about that. $2 more.
After they get divorced, some feel sorry about it and get married again.
Bingo! $2. Whoa! Time's up. Well, we managed to espouse $26 here. Now, then. Double or nothing. Due to the war, which sizes of diamonds are most difficult to obtain in this country today? Small, medium, or large?
Small, I think. Small.
Small. You know? Or you...
Yes, I knew. Small.
You know? Okay, that's right. Two. $52 plus $5, that's $57 in United States war savings stamps with a compliment to Fiedemann. I really think he ought to give me that $5 back at the beginning, though.
I get it, Walter. Now, no organization has done more to perpetuate the memory and spirit of the men and women who achieved American independence than the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. And your next guest, Walter, is that organization's able president general, who is also honorary national president of the Children of the American Revolution.
is Mrs. William H. Pouch.
Welcome to Double or Nothing, Mrs. Pouch. Before I give you your quiz, we'd like to chat with you a minute about the DAR. Just what are the aims of the society?
The aims of the society are patriotic, historic, and educational. But this year we have two principal goals. First, to give all possible aid through home service to winning the war. And secondly, to keep intact our American way of life.
And how old is the organization?
Mr. Compton, it's 51 years old. It was founded in 1890 by four prominent descendants of American Revolutionary patriots. One of them was Eugenia Washington, a descendant of the Washington family. When it began, the DAR had 818 charter members.
Now, how many members have you now, Mrs. Pouch?
Mr. Averillo, we now have 150,000. And they live in all 48 states, the District of Columbia, and in war-torn England, Germany, France, Italy, and China. We have 12,000 girls and boys of the CAR, among whom are those now doing their war service here and in countries over the seas.
Well, just how can a woman apply for membership in the DAR?
That's very easy, Mr. Forrest. Any woman who is a descendant of a person who served the cause of freedom in the Revolutionary War is eligible. There are still many thousands eligible for membership.
Say, you certainly broke with tradition this year when your convention was held in Chicago instead of Washington. Why was that done?
Well, Mr. Compton, you, a native of Washington, asking that, have you ever tried to get a hotel room there? We had 4,000 delegates, so we decided not to add to Washington's congestion.
Well, Mrs. Pouch, can you tell us about some of the important resolutions that were passed at that convention?
Our members subscribed to over $500,000 in war bonds. We have organized our society to serve effectively on the home front by helping build morale, contributing buddy bags to the servicemen, raising funds for DAR War Project to assist in the expansion of blood plasma programs and the purchase of medical and surgical equipment. And we also resolved to continue our regular activities.
What are some of those, Mrs. Pouch?
Mr. Habrilla, we support three workers in the occupational therapy department at Ellis Island Hospital. We teach Americanization among the foreign-born children and adults and contribute to schools and colleges in the mountains of the South. Two schools are supported entirely by our society, one at Tomasi, South Carolina, and the other, the Kate Duncan Smith School in Gunter Mountain, Alabama.
Well, as President General of the DAR, you must do a lot of traveling across the nation. Can you tell us your opinion of the spirit of American women as they adjust themselves to wartime conditions?
Mr. Compton, they're magnificent. From coast to coast and everywhere I've gone, I have found women cooperating splendidly, yet doing and going about their duties as wives and mothers calmly and confidently. I'm sure they can be depended upon to do their part in winning this war.
Well, I understand that you have always been keenly interested in American children and their destiny.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Forrest. We're very proud of our boys and girls of the Society of the Children of the American Revolution, of the Boy and Girl Scouts. In fact, the welfare of all the children of America is very close to our hearts. Many of them today are our brave soldiers, sailors, and Marines. Tomorrow, they will be the country's leaders. May God bless them, and may God give us at home courage to do our part so that freedom will endure and people worship as they choose, wherever the stars and stripes shall wave.
Listen now as Frank Forrest sings a stirring song tribute to Old Glory, I Pledge Allegiance to the Flag.
One nation indivisible.
liberty and justice for all. One nation indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Mrs. Pouch, this is where we have some fun with you. Here is your strong box. That's right, put your glasses down. Get all set here. You're on the verge of becoming an ad-lib artist, Mrs. Pouch.
What's that mean?
You will find out in a minute. This question comes from Mrs. A. Tremere of New York City. She gets $5 for sending it in, and Schultz, her druggist, gets a special award. This is a very hard question. Who invented the lightning rod?
Benjamin Franklin.
That's right. $5 goes in there. That's that living, Mrs. Pouch.
Oh, thank
You've
you.
You've done it.
That's very nice.
Let's go now.
Well, Benjamin Franklin was a short, chubby man. I wonder if anybody knows how he looked.
I don't know. $3, though.
Well, he said, early to bed and early to rise makes a man wealthy and healthy and wise.
That's $4.
Sounds very much like my husband, so when you ask me...
Okay, do luck more. We'll hear about that when you get
home. Mr. Pouch. Well, Benjamin Franklin also came across the Staten Island in the early days of the Revolution.
$2?
And we feel that it was because of what he and Adams and Rutledge said to Lord Howe when they had the conference in the conference house.
A buck each on Adams and Rutledge.
It was because of that that the Revolution went on. Because Howe asked them to lay down their arms as traitors, and they refused.
Give them $3 more. They're worth that.
Well, everything that Benjamin Franklin did, he did well.
A dollar.
He certainly did.
Another dollar.
And I...
Whoa, the clock got you. $19. Now then, Mrs. Pouch.
Now
double
what?
Or nothing. You're going to ad-lib some more.
Oh, I hope so.
Right or wrong, Benjamin Franklin aided in the writing of the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, he's certainly there.
That's correct. Okay. $38 plus five. That's $43 in the United States.
Well, what do I do with it? I think it'll have to go to Greater New York, USO.
Sure, Senator, Mrs. Pouch. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot for being here.
Walter, did you know that Carl was widely used as a remedy in medieval times?
Oh, that's nothing. It's a remedy in modern times. Didn't the Carl Sea give us just the remedy we've been needing to slow up that plague called Japitis?
Go to the head of the class, genius.
Thank you.
But actually, Carl was taken internally in ancient times.
Taken internally? Mm-hmm. You don't mean people took Carl necklaces as a medicine, of course.
I certainly do.
No.
They ground Carl, mixed it with wine, and drank the concoction.
Kill or cure, eh? But at that, I guess it didn't taste much worse than some of the stuff people take nowadays.
Well, most folks don't take bad-tasting doses anymore, Walter. For instance, millions of modern Americans are now relying on Feniman, the modern chewing gum laxative. Here's the modern Feniman plan so many now follow when a laxative is needed. You just chew Feniman at bedtime. As with all medicines, take it only in accordance with package directions. Get a night of undisturbed rest. Start the next day feeling top of the morning again.
Thank you, Aloysius Avila.
Walter, the men in our army are now avidly reading a fine young newspaper prepared just for them. It's called Yank, and its circulation stretches from Iceland to Ireland, from Panama to Port Darwin.
Right you are, Aloys, and even stubborn World War I veterans admit that it's just as good as their old sheets of Stars and Stripes.
Well, the 23-year-old managing editor of Yank is your next contestant. Before Downing Cocky, he was a Sunday editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, and here he is, Sergeant Bill Richardson of Raleigh, North Carolina.
You're right from down in my section of the country, Sergeant. I'm from South Carolina originally, and you from North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Sometimes we must meet like those governors did. See what happened. Here's your question from Miss Alma Bates of Kansas City. She gets $5 for sending it in. I want you to differentiate between jumbo and dumbo.
Well, to begin with the differentiation, both were elephants, I suppose.
Well, what's the difference?
Both were very famous elephants.
Well, don't tell me everything now. Just tell me the difference.
Jumbo is an actual elephant. Jumbo is a mythical elephant. And
I'll take it, okay, before you get me tangled up in big words and I don't know what you say. $5. These editors, they bring me an editor on this thing. I don't know what goes on here. Let's go. All right.
The difference between them, Jumbo was a star, I think, of Billy Rose's show at Madison Square Garden.
That's the name of it. That's another elephant, but I'll give you $3 for him, too.
Furthermore, Dumbo was a concoction of Walt Disney and a very famous film.
You've got to beat 57 for this other guy.
Dumbo had very big ears.
No question. $2 for the ear, one on each.
It was a very nostalgic little creature, and he got a number of laughs from a number of...
I still don't know what kind of creature. What'd you say?
Very nostalgic.
Give him $4 for that. Wait, look at that
word. That's at least an $8 word.
All right, give him $4 for it. I would argue.
The show Jumbo, as I remember it, was written by Ben Hecht, another former newspaper.
Ben Hecht, $2, okay.
And Charlie McCarthy, the other half of the team, and it'll be
I'll give you $2 for that, too. Well, and make haze while the sun shines. Miss Hayes is Mr. McCarthy's wife. Whoa. $20. Now then, double or nothing. What does the T stand for in Phineas T. Barnum?
Well, as I remember a book written by another newspaper man, Gene Fowler, the mighty Barnum, I think it was Phineas Taylor Barnum.
That is absolutely correct, sir. $45. $45 in United States War Savings Stamps with the compliments of Phenomint. He really yanked that out of me. Let's go now.
Walter, your double-double entry tonight seems Mrs. Myrtle Lewis, National Chairman of Radio for the Daughters of the American Revolution, and Mr. William S. Bennett, President of the Empire State Society of the Sons of the American Revolution.
That's right up there, son. Here's a strong buck for each of you folks. I want you to know that you're running stiff competition here now. Mrs. Fudge got $43, and Sergeant got $45, and Mr. Weber has $57, and I want to see what two people can do. So let's see now. Here's your question from J.A. Hurt. Mr. Bennett, don't you look at me like that. You look like you know... Okay.
All right.
Mr. Hertz of New York City gets 5 hooks for sending it in, too. I want you to name a Victor who was a French novelist and a Victor who was an Irish-American composer.
Victor Hugo was the novelist.
That's right. And the Irish-American composer?
Victor Herbert.
Victor Herbert, right. $5 and more stamps. I always give it to the lady. It makes the man mad. Let's go. See what happens. Well, let's talk.
Oh, well, Victor Herbert, I remember extremely well many years ago.
Now, don't tell me how far. Now, you'll date yourself. I'll give it $3.
Victor Hugo was a great spiritual leader, a great dramatist.
He also was
Les Miserables.
That's
the whole world. Victor Herbert.
And I wet bitter tears over
She's not going to let you say a word. All right, $2 for the bitter tears.
Victor Herbert was a great writer of lyrics.
He occupied the...
Well, I not. He occupied
his life.
Whoa, now let's stop the clock. Now let's get organized here. Let's do this thing right. Now you say something, Mr. Bennett, will you?
Yes, sure.
Thank you very much. $2. Now you go on.
Herbert wrote about Mademoiselle
Moody.
$2 for Mademoiselle
Moody.
I listened
Moody.
To that and heard...
600,000 people
kiss,
came to the celebration
kiss
of
the day.
$5.
Kiss me
again.
Kiss me again.
Yes.
Look, Mrs. Lewis.
It was $50.
Give me $3,
sir. Oh, you should give me more than that. All right, $2
more. Victor Herbert wrote The Red Mill, and he wrote the music
Naughty for the Mary,
first of the nation.
I bet you didn't know that he wrote most of the music for Birth of Nation,
I just
either.
Said that.
Oh,
I
said that, but I couldn't hear it, so I'll give you $2.
I beg
your pardon.
He found out when I told him.
Oh, that clock got in there. Say, you did all right. I'm going to take lessons from you, too. $32. I don't know how I got there myself. I just kept saying $3, $2, $4, because I didn't know what was going on. Now then, double or nothing. Speaking of possible victors, what generals are leading the German and British armies in Egypt now?
Rommel and Auchinleck.
Rommel and Auchinleck is correct, sir. That's all right. 64 plus 5 is $69 in United States War Savings Stamps. Where's the compliment to say $69 in all? That's almost our top, but not quite. You missed.
May we contribute these to the U.S.
You set the name, Mrs. Lewis. I'll tell them how you talked your way to
$69. That goes double.
Okay. Thank you very much, folks. It was a pleasure to have you. And now our singing star, Frank Forrest, gives us a grand new fighting hymn.
A Navy chaplain during the attack on Pearl Harbor was heard to shout, "Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition." So impressed was that fine actor, Gene Lockhart, with this vivid re-expression of that famous revolutionary battle cry, that he wrote this fighting hymn.
So friends, listen now as Frank Forrest sings, "Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition."
And pass the ammunition. The nation has a mission, and we're marching to war. Hallelujah, stand to your position. Invoke the old tradition as in days of yore. Keep your powder dry. Be on guard tonight. Prepare to do or die. But rise and fight. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Uphold the proposition that in God we trust. From right before we draw our sword. So pass the ammunition and praise the Lord. Be on guard tonight. Prepare to do or die. Arise and fight. Rise, O Lord, and pass the ammunition. Uphold the proposition that in God we trust. For right before we fall, our fall. Pass the ammunition and pray.
On the air, son.
Mr. Avrilla, a telegram for Mr. Avrilla.
All right, boy, my name is Avrilla. Oh. Wait a minute, are you going to sing this?
Nah, Joe sings them. I give me a straight.
Okay, go ahead.
Double or nothing, coming in 12. Stop.
What do you mean, stop?
Well, that's what it says here, stop.
Oh, that stop doesn't mean stop. Go ahead.
Stop means go ahead?
Go ahead.
Keep up the good work. There's that stop again.
Don't stop.
Isn't it time for you to...
Yes, it is. If the program is coming in swell, we know you can hear what we have to say about Feniman. That's the modern chewing gum laxative, you know, spelled F-E-E-N-A-M-I-N-D. Feniman tastes so good, you don't even know you're taking medicine. And above all, Feniman is gentle and dependable. The next time a laxative is needed, why don't you try Feniman? Only 10 cents. Stop. And I do mean go ahead.
Oh, you did that very nicely, Lloyd.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, friends, I'd like to tell you how you can get in on the fun of Double or Nothing from out in Peoria and San Francisco and places east, north, west, and south. Send all your questions for Double or Nothing to Phenomet, Mutual Network, New York. Questions first received and used win $5, and if you include your friendly druggist name, he too may win a special award. If duplicates are received, the first entry we get and use naturally wins. All questions become the property of Double or Nothing, and our judges' decisions are final. Remember, address Phenomint, Mutual Network, New York.
Hear that tune, Walter Compton? It's been the shoe-tapping signature of our guest star for over 40 years.
The clue's a dead giveaway, Aloys. That song is the daughter of Rosie O'Grady.
Right, Walter. And like two other great Americans, Stephen Foster and George M. Cohen, this 62-year-old song and dance man celebrates his birthday on the 4th of July. Here he is, younger than ever, the one and only Pat Rooney.
It's empty. There's nothing in it yet.
It's all ice.
You want to hang on to it?
I will.
We always give everybody a strong box. Sometimes they don't put anything in it, sometimes they do. We always give them a song box, anyhow. Well, I've always wondered what you look like, Pat Rooney. Now I know.
Funny, huh?
No, you're all right. You're not as big as I am, but you...
Could you tap? Let me hear you tap this mic.
That's enough. Thank you. Thank you. You can still do it. Okay. And well, too. I need not add. You're the guy who used to always dance with your hands in your pockets, didn't you?
That's right. If I'd have kept my hands in my pocket, I'd have been better off.
Here's a question from Carl Barr from Denver, Colorado, who gets $5 for sending it in. I want you to differentiate between a sarong and a jabot.
Is that Gaelic? A sarong what?
And a jabot.
A sarong is what Dorothy Lamour wears.
That's right, Lamour Lamario.
Is that right? And a jabot, is it?
Jabot.
You want a right jabot or a left jabot?
No, just a jabot.
I thought you wanted a dempsey. That's, wait a minute. That's a trimming the ladies wear around, isn't it?
Where?
Around the neck.
Yeah, it's all right. That's the Mamelonek is right. $5 in United States War Savings Stamp. Well, it's the wrong way till we get to the end of the minute, but let's try it.
Well, a sarong is a tropical word, isn't it?
That's $2.
Right? Uh-huh. And to make it $5?
Not on that, no. Work up to $5, will you?
It's my birthday, you know.
$5.
Now, wait a minute. And sarong is very popular in Hawaii, isn't it?
Don't keep asking me. I don't know. $2. I like it on Miss Lamour. I don't know about Hawaii. Thank you, Bruce.
Hedy Lamar is going to wear one in the next picture, if I'm not mistaken.
I hope you're not mistaken. $5.
I ought to get 10 for Hedy. She's a nice little girl.
Oh, no, I won't do it, no. All right, $5 more. What do I care?
Well, I'm working at Roger's Corner. There's 3 girls wear those sarongs, you know, 3 of them.
They do?
They certainly do.
All right, $2 each.
And give me $2 and I'll wear one.
Give me $2 quick.
Give me $2 more and I'll take it off.
Give him $4. That's level fast.
Give me $4 and you can wear it.
I'm not going to get... Whoa! Time's up.
I wanted to get the Brusilov, but I didn't get to
him. These tooth are wrong.
I got $5 more for Brusilov.
You've got $31. Now then, double or nothing. Well, that's Brusilov.
Here it comes.
In wearing apparel... What is a Mother Hubbard? Pocket.
My mother done told me. That's a gown they wear around the house like a robe, you know? A Mother Hubbard, they wear like a house robe. Is that correct?
I don't know. Can you go a little further?
Sure. My mother wore one.
Came off. It's all right. 62 plus 5, $67. United States War Savings Stamp. Thank you very much. Pat Rooney. Friends, next week our special guest will be with Gertrude Neeson playing a return engagement here. Also at that time, we will pay tribute to another United Nations ally, the Union of the Soviet Socialist Republics, Russia. I'll be here to award United States War Stamps for Athenamen. I want to take this opportunity to thank Senor Eugenio Gonzalez, the commercial counselor of the Chilean Embassy in Washington, for his expressions of appreciation for our Chilean broadcast of last week. Now then, this is Walter Compton speaking from New York, saying goodbye to you.
Are you nervous, high-strung, working under pressure? If you are and suffer from gas, heartburn, or sour stomach due to excess stomach acidity, then listen to this. Here's a new chewing gum preparation that brings extra fast relief from acid indigestion. Remember this name, Chews. C-H-O-O-Z. Chews looks like chewing gum, tastes like chewing gum, but there the similarity ends. For Chews is more than just a pleasure to chew. Chews contains 3 active medicines that bring relief on the gallop. And what's more, you can chew Chews anywhere, anytime. And the chewing itself helps relieve nervous tension. Chews is not a laxative, contains no soda or sedatives, is not habit-forming. Get extra fast-acting Chews now. Only 10 cents. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.